Shmuel Beis, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Much of the rest of Shmuel Beis, much of the Sefer in general, are lessons about David HaMelech, about who he was, about his greatness, about his flaws, about an inside look at a king that almost no religion or group in the world ever permits. Usually, history is written by the winners, and all you see is positive. All you see is praise and what they call hagiography, where you just raise somebody up without anything negative. No comment here about the art scroll biography trend, but in Tanakh, you get the real picture of the real person. And that teaches you things. That is a useful model for the Jewish people to follow over the millennia. It is among, obviously, the clear reasons about it being from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and about it being Holy Writ, but it is one of the things that makes Tanakh endure and be so relevant if you read carefully, which we've been trying to do all the way through. And here, we learn something about David from the fate of a man who would deny David the Malchus, Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul. And so the parak begins, Vayishma ben Shaul ki meis Avner b'Chevron. And so the son of Shaul heard that Avner had been killed in Chevron. And the Masudas David says on this that Avner was the only one who could prop up his Malchus. And with the death of Avner, the only claim that Ishbosheth had was that he was the ben Shaul. That was all he was. That was the only reason that perhaps he could even claim to have any right to the throne. And that claim is very tenuous indeed, and he is not going to last very long in this parak. But more than that, Ishbosheth as Ben Shaul, this is the reason for his death. Because he was included in the decree from Shamayim on Shaul's descendants that after he killed the Kohanei Nov, they were going to die. And at the same time, being the Ben Shaul meant that two members of Shevet Binyamin, Melachim Mechalotzecha Yetzeyu, as we've been saying. So there had to be multiple kings from Binyamin, and Ishbosheth was one of those. But he is, in fact, brought down in Chazal as a tzaddik, who is going to end up in Gan Eden, and one sefer called the Mishpatzos Zahav says that his neshama joined Shmuel Hanavi's neshama in that portion of Gan Eden, whatever that could possibly mean. But when he heard that Avner had died, by Yirpu Yadav, and his hands began to shake, his hands became weak and feeble, rafa, without strength, v'chol Yisrael nivhalu, and all of Yisrael was in a behola, was in an uproar, was, well, technically terrified, perhaps by the fact that they had supported Ishbosheth even for just a little while, and now they supported, as they realized, a losing candidate. So Ishbosheth, the Mamloes brings down, actually preferred to be somewhat anonymous, which is much like his father, who hid behind the barrels in the coat closet when he was made the king. And he was not necessarily overly upset by the fact that Avner had deserted him and was going to hand the kingdom over to David. He was the Ben Shaul. He was very much like his father. And not only that, we're going to see that he takes naps in the middle of the day, which is something that during quarantine and stay at home makes a lot of sense. But for a king of Melech Yisrael to be taking a midday nap, that's not particularly appropriate. The Ben Shaul also, because he is going to die violently as his father did before him. So Ishbosheth and the member of Beis Shaul are panicked and alarmed. They didn't know if David had a hand in the murder of Avner, which we said David made very clear that he did not. But why then were Yoav and Avishai not punished for the death of Avner? So his hands became feeble and Klal Yisrael became terrified at this news because they had no idea how to predict what was going to happen next. All the polls in the political world were not going to help him be able to tell what was going to come. He also could trust in the tremendous piousness, the piety of Avner, that Beis Shaul would not be completely obliterated. But when they heard that Avner was murdered, he is very, very worried that Yoav and Avishai are going to do him in next. Pasuk Beis, Ushnei Anoshim, Sare gedudim hayu ben Shaul. There were two men who were captains of the troops. A gedud is a military troop. That word comes up in Mishnayos when it's talking about upheaval in a city because the gedudim are there. And shem ha'achad ba'ana, the shem ha'sheni Rechav. And one's name was Ba'ana, and one's name was Rechav. Nondescript names for nondescript captains of the infantry, of the troops. And Rechav, they were B'nai Rimon ha-Be'erosi m'B'nai Binyamin. They were sons of Rimon the Be'erosi from Be'er, Be'erotite, from Sheva Binyamin, which makes sense because there's enough nepotism when Sheva Binyamin is in charge of the Malchus that they get good gigs. Kigam Be'eros techoshev al Binyamin. Because Be'eros, the city where their family came from, was reckoned to be part of Sheva Binyamin. So these factors are important as to why Ishbosheth was not worried about these guys, because they were his men. They were captains of the troops, which means they were trusted and loyal. They were Leven Shaul, Rashi says. They were for the Ben Shaul. They were loyal partisans. They were from Binyamin. They were from the same tribe. So he had no reason to worry about them. And he had promoted them, because it says that they were for the Ben Shaul, not that they were for Shaul first. But they were ungrateful. And this is a quality. Every time it comes up, I mention it again. Ingratitude, a lack of Hakaras HaTov, is, to me, one of the great themes of Nach that is repeated over and over and over again. That when somebody is ungrateful, that is considered to be the worst of all possible personal qualities. And these two men, Rechav and Ba'ana, are disloyal. And they think that they're going to prove loyalty to the new guy by doing something unspeakable.